aim of our Living with Diabetes podcasts is to share information and inspire, and we endeavour to ensure that the information provided in them is accurate. It's not a substitute for medical or health advice from a healthcare professional who's aware of the facts and circumstances of your individual situation. We always recommend that advice be sought from your GP or diabetes nurse before making any changes to medication or before using any products or services referenced by DRWF. DRWF will not be held liable or responsible for failure to seek competent medical or health advice from a professional who's familiar with your situation. Views, information or opinions contained in podcasts do not necessarily represent opinions, standards or policies of DRWF. The inclusion of details about products or services does not indicate DRWF endorsement of them.
Hello and welcome to the latest podcast in our series, Living with Diabetes, brought to you by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. I'm Claire Levy, and in this edition, we're looking at DRWF's plans to consolidate our popular Diabetes Wellness Days into a centralised big event this September to mark the charity's 25th anniversary in the UK. To discover more, I've been talking with Educational Event Coordinator Lee Calladine.
We've looked at all of our activities and we've made some, I would say, bold choices on how we move forward and how we deliver things. And we think that we've come up with some exciting new plans which are going to help us carry on delivering the things that we do for people living with diabetes in a much bigger way. So really we're hoping our impact in terms of supporting people is going to be much, much better.
We'll hear more from Lee in a moment, but first let's look back to last year's Wellness Days, which saw the return to live events after the pandemic.
Hi everyone, it's Mayank Patel. I'm a diabetes consultant based in Southampton.
So we're at the first Diabetes Wellness Day South since COVID pandemic. How are you finding it today?
Yeah, it's great to be here, Claire. So lovely to see people face to face after 3 years of having meetings online and on screens and by telephone and everything. So to be in a room with individuals living with type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes and their friends and their families all together is a really lovely thing.
How has your session gone this morning?
So I delivered a session this morning where I was talking about the last 100 years of some of the major breakthroughs in diabetes care, given that it was just over 100 years ago insulin was first discovered. And so we felt that was quite a nice jump-off point to do a bit of a brief history lesson, tour de force of the last 100 years of medications and other developments in diabetes care, which seemed to land well with the audience. There were lots of great questions, lots of interaction, some laughs and jokes along the way, which always makes things go much more smoothly and much more fun and enjoyable.
Anything different since the pandemic? Any different questions?
There seems to be some questions around the fact that not everyone can access healthcare specialists as readily as they would perhaps before the pandemic. So we appreciate, you know, it's a challenging time for all of us, and that includes myself as a doctor working in a hospital. Everyone's under pressure and stretched, so we do our best to deliver information and support as much as possible. So in response to the individuals who talked about difficulties getting to see their GPs, it's hard to give a precise individual response to that, but I just made the case that just having been prepared before you see a GP or a nurse, have the questions you want to ask ready before you go there, so that time is spent constructively and you get your answers best you can, or ensure they can signpost you to the person or they can do the work for you to answer your questions for you as well. You shouldn't leave the room without with questions, really, is the plea, really. And again, education events like such as today, this Education Wellness Day, if people can take the time to attend a face-to-face education event, it's a different way in which they can sometimes get some of their questions answered as well.
And we've seen lots of new people coming to this day, which I think is really nice, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, diabetes, as sadly, still keeps being diagnosed at regular intervals across the country, type 1 and type 2 diabetes. So there's no shortage of individuals coming forward. But to keep having new faces, people still keen to learn more, whether they've just been diagnosed themselves or they've had it for a few years or more than a few years, to still feel they've got new stuff to learn is great. And it's really important because there's always something new to learn for all of us.
My name's Georgia. I'm one of the diabetes specialist dietitians across Hampshire. I lead both the West Hampshire and the South East Hampshire dietetic service for diabetes.
So today, what was your talk about with Sarah Woodman?
Today we were talking generally about healthy eating and living with diabetes overall.
Sarah said it was a bit complicated because she had lots of different people in the room.
Yes, I think it's very difficult to sort of tailor the advice to individuals, especially because it's slightly different if you're managing type 1 diabetes, because you're thinking about your insulin doses and dose adjustment, whereas for type 2s it might be a little bit more about remission or weight loss.
I popped into the session, you were talking about carbohydrates. How did that go? And that's difficult for people, isn't it?
Yeah, I think people understanding, you know, what is a carbohydrate is quite daunting because it covers a lot of different food groups. And then people start to worry about, you know, should I be eating this or can I not eat this? You know, what's healthy, what's not healthy? So, yeah, it opens up a lot of questions, definitely.
And you've got things like the carbs and cowls.
Yeah, carbs and cows book is what we sort of recommend people as a first line sort of advice to go to, because it covers all the different portion sizes and shows people kind of which foods contain carbs and which don't. So that's always a good one. BDA fact sheets are also quite good. So the carbs and cows have a whole range of books that cover things like weight loss to world foods, and they also have a really good app as well that you can download, and it has a whole database of foods, covers things like eating out and all those sorts of topics.
And it's based on plate sizes, isn't it?
Yes, it's based on plate sizes, so it gives you a visual guide. It's not 100% accurate. Obviously the gold standard is to weigh things, but not everyone has the time to do that, so it's a good alternative for that.
So days like this Wellness Day South, how important are they for people?
Oh, I think they're so important because it gives you the chance to meet other people living with diabetes. You can't sort of beat peer support, really, I think, because you're the experts and you can share your knowledge, learn from what other people are doing. So we love coming along to these days, definitely. And it gives us a chance to signpost what other support is out there from healthcare professionals as well. So we're all sort of working together, which is really nice as well.
I'm Parijat Day. I'm a consultant in diabetes from Sandwell and West Birmingham Hospital. And we've just attended the diabetes question time. And it was a privilege to speak to people with type 1 and type 2 diabetes in a very informal fashion and answer questions which come from all different quarters and real life questions faced by people living with diabetes. So it was a pleasure to talk to most of the people here on various aspects of diet, exercise, type 1 and type 2 diabetes.
I'm Jo Lloyd. I'm a diabetes specialist nurse at City and Sandwell Hospital in Birmingham, and I have a special interest in type 1 diabetes and technology.
I think it kind of came up in the questions that I think you emphasised. You shouldn't feel bad about going on to medication and more medication if necessary.
The progression of type 2 diabetes is variable as an individual. So ultimately, all best will in the world of following all the advice regarding lifestyle and diet, there are times where we do need to manage with other medication. And as Dr. Day mentioned today in some of the questions, that some of those medications also have benefits for reducing other risk factors associated with diabetes. So it's not a failure, but we still need to follow the lifestyle advice at the same time as that medication.
So I'm here with Sarah Tutton, who is the Chief Exec of Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation, on our return to having wellness days. Sarah, what's it like to be back out there and seeing lots of lovely people coming to our events?
It's absolutely amazing, Claire. We're seeing faces that we haven't seen for 3 or 4 years, and it's clear that everyone really is enjoying the opportunity to get back together in person. And yeah, just an amazing opportunity, really, to get back to normal, as it were.
So just tell me what's in the exhibition room today.
So we've got lots of stands. We've got the diagnostic companies. We've got a dietetics stand with our wonderful diabetes dietitian nurses providing some friendly advice. We've got one of the Freestyle Libre 2 stands here, which of course is really relevant at this moment in time with lots of people moving over to flash monitoring. And we've also got lots of DRWF stands talking about all of the work of the charity and getting people engaged in our activities, which is really important to us because certainly our fundraising activities is what helps us to put on days like this for people with diabetes.
Do you want to mention the lottery?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. So we've got a small society lottery, a great fun activity that we're promoting today, getting people involved in signing up to a £1 play per week, which gives us 50 pence donation for each play. Yeah, really excited about that.
And how can people get involved with that?
If they're at the event today, come along to the stand and sign up online or take a little form away, which they can fill in and send back to our lottery manager, Stirling Lottery. Or if they'd like to go onto our website and click on the Get Involved tab, they can sign up to play the lottery from there on our website, www.drwf.org.uk.
Hi, my name's Sanjay Gohill, 47 years old. Yorkshire, born and bred, living in the south.
Oh, well, one Yorkshire.
For a number of years, but not losing my accent, so that, thank God for that. I think it's the sun's out, so everybody's obviously got a smile on their face. But it's been great to enable people living with diabetes and DRWF to interact in a face-to-face manner and to actually, you know, give something back to the patients, really, and showing them all the new resources that are out there and what they can benefit from to ultimately manage their condition better.
So why do you think people should volunteer? What do volunteers get out of the day?
Well, for me personally, I just sort of enjoy helping out generally anyway. But I think it's just great to, having been in the diabetes space for a while, I think it's great just to be able to give something back. And whether it is you're dealing with the other end of the spectrum, where you're dealing with medications or technology or something, I think seeing this side of it, where you're actually interacting with the people themselves and listening to their stories, really, I think, as well, and how they're living with the condition and their experiences is enlightening, as well as helping DRWF, you know, make sure the day goes smoothly and everybody benefits and has the best experience.
Hello, I'm Fiona and I run Threads of Life.
So just give me some background to the lovely products that you've got here today.
So Threads of Life began because my daughter was diagnosed when she was a baby with type 1 diabetes. So I have a background in textile design and I started designing cases for her to carry her kit around in every day. And I was then going along to one of her diabetes appointments and her nurse said, "Oh, I really like your kit cases. Why don't you start thinking about going to production with these?" So what was really important for me was to find an ethical producer so that I could do good and we could do good in the making of them, as well as helping people here in the UK and further afield with keeping their essential supplies for diabetes in one place, so you know you've got it, you can leave the house, you've got your kit and you can go and live life. So they're made ethically in Nepal using really sturdy fabric, so really good for every day, and you can keep everything together and know you've got your essential kit.
They're made in Nepal, as you said, and how does that help the people in Nepal?
So Nepal is the second poorest country in Asia, and there's a real dearth of sustainable employment there. So the producer that I found is amazing. It really helps people who would otherwise be on the margins of society really struggle to find work. A lot of them have had to go abroad to work, and so they're separated from their families. There's no sustainable employment there. So they're really helping to bring people back from India. Lots of people go to India and the Far East, working in jobs that you really wouldn't want to work in. So they're bringing people back and they're also helping them holistically. So they do training in how to budget, in relationships, in really holistic training. So it's really helping people who have been through really difficult situations not only have a sustainable job, but also help with their families and their children get a bursary to go to school. So it's helping to really stop poverty for the next generation. I'm doing really good.
Where can people see these? You've got a website, presumably.
So I have a website, threadsoflife.co.uk. I'm also on the social media channels if you look up Threads of Life UK.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, the DRWF podcast. As we mark our 25th anniversary, plans are underway to create a major wellness day on the 16th of September at Chesford Grange in Kenilworth, Warwickshire. This will be our first national United Through Diabetes wellness event, which will become an annual focus for bringing together people of all ages living with all types of diabetes to hear from healthcare professionals, specialists, support groups and industry experts. I've been talking to our educational event coordinator, Lee Calladine, to discover more.
It's our 25th anniversary this year, so a big year for the charity. There's been a lot of changes for us, in particular the last few years with the pandemic, coming out the other side, and really how that's affected not just us, but charities across the whole third sector. So we've looked at all of our activities and we've made some, I would say, bold choices on how we move forward and how we deliver things. And we think that we've come up with some exciting new plans which are going to help us carry on delivering the things that we do for people living with diabetes in a much bigger way. So really we're hoping our impact in terms of supporting people is going to be much, much better.
So before we get into the new plans, can you just tell us what you've done in the past to support people living with diabetes?
Yeah, I mean, over the 25 years since the charity was started, we've had a range of things that we've done to support people. So our monthly newsletter, our outreach program, which consists of our range of patient information leaflets, medical awareness jewellery, our necklaces and our wristbands. We've attended local and regional health and wellbeing days. We've supported community days. And we've had our own range of diabetes events over the years. And they started off really small. Way back in the beginning, with some very small residential weekends, some local days, because as a small team we didn't really have the resources and manpower to branch out further across the country. So we did local days in community centres, in hospital education suites, and then slowly we grew those days. The program grew to involve residential weekends in different towns and cities around the country. We used to do our walking events with Ramblers. So we would go away for a week, and that might be somewhere like the Lake District or the Yorkshire Dales or Cornwall Peak District, and we'd take a team of people living with diabetes away with us, and it was all about activity and exercise and getting people incorporating those things into their sort of daily life as part of their diabetes management. We did some healthy cooking days where we had people joining us with a professional chef who talked us through a whole menu, and we cooked that together and then ate that at the end of the day. And that was all about healthy cooking and healthy choices. And we grew our wellness events into three regional days. So again, as a small team, we decided, how can we reach the most people possible? So we created a South Diabetes Wellness Day, a Midlands one, and a North one. And we've done those for about 12 to 14 years, if you factor in the 2 years with the pandemic. And they're fantastic, very successful. We've reached hundreds of people, and we've grown those to a point now where we can't really grow them anymore with the size of our team. So the thing we've decided to do this year is retire them, perhaps not forever, but for the time being, we're going to retire them and we're going to merge them into one big central event, which gives us a chance to pool our resources and create something much, much bigger with more content and more impact.
So they're aimed at people living with diabetes, as the wellness events were in the past, but the program's going to be a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah. So the wellness days in the past have been for people living with all types of diabetes, but it's been a blended program. So people coming to the events could go to see, you know, whichever talks were featured on the programs, whether it was diet and nutrition or how to look after your feet and daily foot checks, retinal screening, managing hypos and hypers. People would go to those talks, whether they had type 1, type 2 diabetes. The new event's going to give us a chance to create individual streams on the program. So we're going to have a specific program for people with type 1 diabetes, another program for type 2. We're going to have a program for people from diverse communities. We're going to have another program for families and children, sort of birth up to 16, with type 1 diabetes. And we're also going to have a program which is a little bit different, and that's going to feature our funded researchers. So people will be able to come along and watch some presentations about the work that they do, meet them, have a chat with them, and see what exciting work's going on in the field of diabetes.
And then you've got a larger exhibition suite. What's going to happen in there?
Yes, so the hub of the day is going to be the exhibition room. And we know from our previous events, and we know from the evaluations that we've done, that people really value and love being able to meet and talk to the experts. So in the exhibition room, we'll have the teams from the insulin pump companies, the diagnostic companies, companies that talk about continuous glucose meters and flash sensors. And as well as that, we'll have the NHS teams. So the diabetes specialist nurses and dietitians, the retinal screening teams, special podiatry teams, and then all of the peripheral. Sorry, that was my Libre beeping at me. All the peripheral health teams that you would expect to be involved in diabetes care. And then we'll have some holistic teams and people from, you know, diabetes companies that sell things like kit bags and stickers for Libre sensors and Dexcoms and insulin pumps and all of those kind of peripheral products that people want. It might be fun things like wristbands or stickers or T-shirts, but we'll have a real mixture of exhibitors and stands going on in that hub.
And we know when you go for your checkups, whether it's a HbA1c or foot check, I think people are aware that they haven't got a lot of time to speak to the healthcare professionals. This gives them that opportunity, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. One of the things we've always been conscious with these days is that it gives people access to the healthcare professionals that they might not normally have, like you said, the time to do at their appointments. So we asked the diabetes teams to do talks on the program. So they might, for instance, if it might be the podiatry team talking about looking after your feet and your foot screening and foot checks. They'll do a Q&A at the end of the talk, but they'll also have a stand in the exhibition room. So you can go and listen to their talk, meet them afterwards, and, or visit the stand and speak to them and ask specific questions if you've got any.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, the DRWF podcast. We'll continue our conversation with Lee in a moment, but first let's return to last year's Wellness Days, where I met with attendees who are living with diabetes.
Lloyd Braxtone, my dad's diabetic and I work at University Hospitals Birmingham.
So what brought you here today?
Just to, because dad's been diagnosed for about 20 odd years now, and I just wanted to see what was going on, because we have a lack of response from the GP practice sometimes, and just wanted to see what other people thought and just to see if there's anything we could learn.
So you asked a question in the session with Dr. Day. Did you learn enough? Did he give you the answers you were looking for?
Yes, he did. So we're going to go back and ask the doctor when he next goes for his next checkup to say why isn't he on that, and if not, can we get referred to the hospital?
Really good. And so you've had a look round today. How did you hear about the event?
I heard about it on our weekly news bulletin at work. It was mentioned in there, so I just clicked on the link and said, oh, this looks quite interesting. I wasn't sure whether it might be pitched too high a level, especially when I saw the first session. I thought, oh, that might be a bit technical, but actually it was quite really fascinating. And I can't remember, Dr. Patel, he was very informative. It's a shame that he couldn't stay on, because I would have asked him some more questions.
Absolutely. So, and it's really nice, I think, to meet other people as well, isn't it?
It is. It's just that dad feels a little bit isolated. And obviously I'm concerned whether I might develop type 2 diabetes and whether the second generation might. So it's a case of trying to prevent it now.
And there's all that information here, isn't there?
There is. There's a lot of information. Too much.
Hello, my name's Sarah Dainter. I'm an NHS podiatrist working with wound care, but I've also recently been told that I'm pre-diabetic, so I'm here for two reasons, with two hats on today.
So you've been to both sessions this morning, yes? I've just been with Dr. Parajat Day, and he talked about pre-diabetes. Did you learn more about it through him?
Yes, I did. It was interesting to see what the range was for pre-diabetes to actually progressing on to diabetes. It was reassuring as well to know that this can be reversed. And from my own personal treatment, it was nice to know that I've been enrolled onto a diabetes education course. So my GP clearly is following guidance and working to gold standard.
That's really good to know. How have you found today? Because you've never been to one of these before, have you?
No. Oh, it's been really lovely. The atmosphere is very warm and welcoming. You can ask questions and you don't feel as though you're asking a silly question. And everybody's very keen to share their information and their experience with you. So they're really, really enjoying it.
How did you hear about today?
I think it was an online advert on Facebook that popped up. So it was just a case of I followed the link and got in touch with Lee and enrolled that way. So very, very easy.
And good information for you as a podiatrist as well.
Yes. Yeah, it's really interesting. It's given me a lot of homework to do and given me some ideas to help support our students when they come and visit, because I've not got a huge knowledge about the diabetic medications. So I'm going to go away and look those up and make a little crib sheet to share with my colleagues and students. So lots of food for thought.
Rosemary Griffiths. It was a year ago in March. Became quite poorly. I had sepsis, and when you go into DKA, so I was taken into hospitals in resus for a little while until they could stabilise me. My blood sugar levels were sky high. I was 140 plus. for the HB
A1C.
Yes, that's it. Get the numbers around the wrong way.
Yeah.
So yes, that was quite high. So I was put on to Novamix and insulin twice a day. I was on that for about 5 months. But my levels have come down now really nicely. I'm down to 40, and I've been put on metformin and that other one that I mentioned. Oh dear.
Oh,
Pegloflozin. Yes. Which has served me very well. I've managed to come off that now, and from 2 a.m. and 2 p.m. of metformin, I'm down to 1 a.m. and 1 p.m. And managing with diet, and so far so good. I've managed to lose 6 stone in weight.
Fantastic.
And yes, I'm pleased. I'm being very, very well looked after by my practice nurse at the surgery, who is fantastic, phones me up regularly, sees me, checks me over, and went for my eye screening yesterday. So just waiting for the results of that. So yes, I'm very well looked after.
So how did you find out about DRWF and today's Wellness Day?
It came up on Facebook.
Always good.
Yes, it came up on Facebook, and so I delved into it. I'm a bit of a technophobe, really, but yes, went into it, had a good look, recognised a couple of names there, especially Dr. Patel. He looked after me in hospital, and I thought, yes, you can never have too much information. It's a big learning curve. You're constantly learning, and I just want to do the best I can for myself. Anything diet related, I'm there for it. What can I help myself with? I find shopping can be quite a minefield. Not all the codes, the colour codes on foods, I find are truthful. There's a lot of hidden sugars in things, and also individually our bodies do react differently to foods. So yeah, anything I can help myself with learning more, I will take it.
Fantastic. So I hope you have a lovely day.
Thank you. Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing what's out there and hearing what's going on. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Anna. I'm a regular at DRWF.
So, Anna, what did you used to do in a previous life?
Well, I used to write a blog for, it was called Insulin Independent, and it was about life with most things diabetes, but specifically about type 1, technology, and any useful information or events that people might want to go to.
So how long have you been living with type 1 diabetes?
I will be 36 years in December. I was diagnosed on Christmas Eve in Germany in 1986, I believe.
How old were you then, dare I ask?
I was only 4.
Oh, bless. So you won't have a lot of memories about that?
No, in fact, I don't have many memories prior to being diagnosed as a type 1, but in a sense, maybe that makes it a little bit easier.
So what's your life been like with type 1?
It's been really interesting over the generations to see things move on and develop. So when I was first diagnosed, we didn't have blood testing. We were doing urine testing. It was very, very regimented, and everything. I knew what I would be eating that day before I even woke up. And over the years, it's been interesting watching new types of insulin come out. It's been, you know, now I'm covered in all sorts of technology, which makes life so much easier. So it's been really interesting seeing that develop. And also the community, you know, seeing the community grow and learn how to connect was amazing.
What sort of tech are you using then?
So I'm wearing a continuous glucose monitor, which is called a Dexcom, and I'm using an insulin pump called an AccuCheck Combo, and I'm also using a self-built app that makes the two speak to each other to make amendments to my insulin dosing as my blood sugars go up and down.
So sort of an artificial pancreas?
Yes, yeah, it's what they call like a DIY hybrid closed loop. When you hear those sorts of terms, that's what it's referring to. So it's a little bit clunky in terms of carrying everything around with me, but it just means I can take my eyes off the ball and something is kind of watching out for me in the background. So when I was diagnosed, I didn't know anybody else who had type 1 diabetes at all. And then eventually I met another person who was in their late 60s and already using an early version of an insulin pump, which looked terrifying to me. And then I think I was about 8 or 9 before I met my first other person who was a boy. So why would I, you know, want to get to know him at 8 years old as a girl? And then it was probably in my 20s before I began to meet anyone. And then with the dawn of the internet and communities learning how to connect now, I could probably name 100 people with type 1 or type 2 who I now regularly call my friends. And that is just a world away from where I was when I was 4. And the value in putting it out there and saying, hey, this is my experience, anyone else? And then when people start putting their hands up and you realise you're not on your own, that is just, well, invaluable, really.
So there's a mix, really, I suppose, here of like an in-person event today and stuff that's on the internet and using social media. That works quite well, I think, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Certainly on Twitter, there's an incredibly active community of people who might not be able to get together, or people who live in New Zealand but, you know, associate with the British DOC diabetes online community, or there might be people locally who talk to people overseas. And it's just that being able to interconnect that way, even if you can't get somewhere, particularly during the times we've recently been through, that being able to just be online at any one time and speak to somebody is wonderful. It's just there's nothing quite like it.
I think lots of people talk about having a hypo at 3 a.m. and finding somebody else is awake.
Yeah, exactly. There will be somebody somewhere in the world who's going through the same thing as you. And even if there's only one of them, that means you're not alone, which is, you know, when it comes to self-care and treatment, I think peer support plays a much bigger part than we could possibly imagine, as much as the medication or as the routine or the diet.
And good for parents with children recently or, you know, diagnosed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had type 1 when I had my daughter, and, you know, a diabetic pregnancy or a pregnancy with diabetes is a completely different world. Every couple of weeks you're in appointments and you're having blood tests constantly, and there's constant kind of concern and worry. And so actually being in a community where people can say you will do it and you'll do it well is really meaningful. And you know, actually I was able to have a really healthy normal weight baby with absolutely no complications. So when I'm able to now say that to other people, they kind of, their ears prick up as well and say, actually, that's, I just needed to hear that.
And there are other charities, but what do you like about DRWF?
I mean, they have just been, they have got such a broad scope of the things that they do, including everything from podcasts to weekends away to education events. I think they're really good at putting people in connection with each other. I've been to boot camp days with people. I've been on walks. And they're also local to me, which I think is really important. You know, in any of the bigger charities almost become a little bit faceless. Whereas when I think about DRWF, I know who the people are who run it. And they're just so approachable and friendly that you just can't help not feel at home when you're with them.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, the DRWF podcast. A huge amount of work is going on to create DRWF's first United Through Diabetes wellness event. People living with diabetes find both the professional and peer insights invaluable, as our educational event coordinator, Lee Calladine, explains.
There's a lot of people out there that don't know what to do. They get diagnosed. We know it's a postcode lottery across the NHS. Some people get wonderful and amazing care and information. Some people sadly don't. And we hope that these days give people a little bit of a community that they can meet. They can access peer support, which we also have at these events. So we're very conscious that we create a safe space and a community for people with diabetes. And again, it gives them the chance to meet the diabetes specialist teams and ask those questions if they've got them, and also to meet other people living with diabetes. And we know that you can learn a lot from other people that have been living with diabetes, especially those people that have had it for years.
Mm. And where is this event then, Lee?
So we're returning to a venue that we've been to before. It's called Chesford Grange, and it's in Kenilworth in Warwickshire. We've done a few wellness days there. It's a brilliant venue. It's very accessible by train and by road. It's a large venue, so it's going to give us the chance to create this much, much bigger event with a lot more activity. So we're really excited about it.
And what's the cost outlay for people if they're interested in coming along?
Well, the charity has always subsidised these events as part of our educational aims. So we only ask people to pay a small fee of £5 when they register. That helps us a little bit with the running cost of the events. But that involves, or includes, sorry, the whole event, the program. They get a nice delegate bag, access to all the talks and the exhibition room, all day tea and coffee and refreshments, and a really, really nice lunch as well, a healthy lunch.
So amazing value. And what's the best way for people to find out more and to register? Is registration open yet?
Registration is open. The event's happening on Saturday, the 16th of September. And if people visit our website, which is www.drwf.org.uk, they can find the event on our events page, and they can register online really easily. We're not taking registrations over the phone this year, because we're working with a small event company for the first time, and they're going to help manage the registration process for us.
Fantastic. Anything else you want to add about the event, Lee, that we might have missed?
The first time with this one, we're actually going to be having a special area and program for families. So for any families who have got children with type 1 diabetes who'd like to come along, there'll be some talks for the children, lots of fun activities for the kids. But we'll also be doing some special talks for mums and dads as well. We've got a diabetes cafe, so we're going to have lots of peer support happening in the diabetes cafe area. We're going to have some outdoor activities, like some mindfulness walking on the Trim Trail. Type 1 pilot Douglas Cairns is going to come and do a little flyby for us and waggle his wings as he goes over the hotel, and hopefully he'll land at a local airport and pop in to see us all at the day as well. We're going to open the doors at 8:30 in the morning and finish at 5 p.m. We're going to have some high profile experts taking part in the event from all over the UK, and these are people that are highly regarded in the field of diabetes. So it will definitely be worth people coming along to take part, join in, and meet these experts. So if people keep an eye on the website, or if they follow our Facebook page or Twitter page, you can find links to those on the website. As we go through the year, we'll update those with news about exhibitors, sponsors, and featured speakers that are going to be delivering specific talks on the different programs. So we'll keep updating that through the year, just to give people a flavour of the program and what to expect.
Registration is now open on our website, drwf.org.uk. We only ask for a small registration fee of £5 per person to attend the event. Your registration fee includes access to all the featured programmes, meet the researchers, the exhibition suite, all-day refreshments, a healthy hot and cold buffet lunch, delegate bags and free parking. So don't miss our first ever national United Through Diabetes wellness event to discover new skills, knowledge and tools to enhance your existing diabetes understanding. Learn about the very latest in diabetes care and management, question the experts, meet the researchers, make new friends in the diabetes community, and much more. There are also more details on our website about the event and special hotel rates for those who choose to stay overnight. To discover how you can continue to support DRWF, together with the latest fundraising events, news and information, it's all on our website at drwf.org.uk. This is Claire Levy from Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Our thanks to everyone who talked to us, and also to you for listening to this latest edition of our podcast, Living with Diabetes.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora media production for DRWF. Copyright 2023. Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. All rights reserved.